what I'd like to explore together as we approach Matan Torah, especially thinking about it from the perspective of adolescence, and you guys are the future of the Jewish people. You are the future leaders of Klal Yisrael. This is a major situation we have speaking. I always find that it's incredibly meaningful, but also intimidating to speak to high school students. You guys are the future leaders of Klal Yisrael. And so Shavuos has got to have major significance. In the first place, I want to think about how to have this discussion about Shavuos and how to make meaning out of Shavuos for ourselves and our Avodas Hashem begins with a guy by the name of Simon Sinek. I don't know how many of you guys have heard of Simon Sinek, maybe just a show of hands. Somebody want to put up a little hand raise on their Zoom if you've heard of Simon Sinek. He wrote a book which you see in front of you on this screen. It's called Start With Why. Simon Sinek says that every enterprise, everything we do, we always want to start asking the question, why? That's what's going to drive everything. So I'm going to ask us to ask ourselves the same question. Why do mitzvos? Why be engaged in Avodas Hashem? That's the question we want to ask ourselves this Shavuos. And every day, why are we doing this? So the question of why we should even do mitzvos, why we should be excited about Yiddishkeit, why we should be mekabel the Torah at Har Sinai, which is the entire experience, right? When we're thinking about what Shavuos means to us, it is the receiving of the Torah. It's referred to in the davening as Matan Torah Seinu. That question is compounded by a problem. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu arrived at Har Sinai, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos that he faced a challenge. The same question that we're asking ourselves, why accept the Torah? Why be Jewish? Why buy in? Moshe Rabbeinu got the same question from the angels. And they said to him, according to the Gemara, they said, what are you doing over here? You're going to take the Torah from us? Why are you taking the Torah? Why do you deserve the Torah? The Torah should stay here in heaven. And Moshe Rabbeinu was so frightened, he looked at the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he says, what do I tell these people? They're not people, they're angels. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, you know what you should do? Grab on to the Kisei HaKavod, the Gemara says, and come up with an answer yourself. Why do you deserve the Torah? Why? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll tell you. So the Gemara says on Shabbos, it starts on Peches, and Beis goes over to the top. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Malachim, I have a question for you. Do you guys have idols in heaven that tempt you? No. So he says, what are you going to do with it? The Torah says, don't worship idols. You guys have no idols. Shuv, you see here in the top, you see in front of you on the screen, Pei Tes Omed Aleph. Shuv Maksiv, but what does it say in the Torah? Zochres Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho. Remember the Torah that you should rest. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, "Klum atem osim malacha sha'atem tzrichim shvos? Do you angels, do you do work that you need to rest on Shabbos? Shuv maksiv, what does it say? Lo sisa maso matan yesh beinechem? It says, don't swear falsely. Do you folks, do you angels, do you ever swear? Do you have any issues that you deal with each other? No. So, I don't understand. What's going on over here? Why are you going to get the Torah if that Torah doesn't apply to you? Says Moshe Rabbeinu further, Shuv maksiv b'kavdes avich v'esimecha. See fourth line. Honor your parents. Yesh lachem aveim yesh lachem. You have parents? What does it say? Lo sirtzach, lo sinov, lo signov. Don't steal. All these things. Do you have any of these desires? As the angel said, you're right, Taka, we don't. So you know what they did? Miyad hodu lo, LaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said, you know what? You're right. Moshe Rabbeinu, you guys get the Torah. I don't understand this Gemara for the life of me. Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to come up with a reason why we should get the Torah. And instead of telling the angels why we should get the Torah, he says, oh, this is why the Torah doesn't apply to you. But why does it apply to us? What do we have to do with the Torah? What does this Gemara tell us? So the first question we want to know, we want to address the fundamental issue here is why should we get involved in Yiddishkeit? Second question we want to get some grasp of is how was Moshe Rabbeinu challenging the Malachim? How is he giving them an explanation why, when he's just throwing it back at them, is why it's not pertinent to them? That's the first two questions. I see a hand here from Ariella Seltzer. Yes, unmute yourself, please, so I can hear your question. Thanks. I hear you, yes. It's a little fuzzy, but it's okay. Keep going. Go ahead. Okay, beautiful. So he's showing us that we need these things because we live this kind of lifestyle. Yes, and anybody else want to add to that? Anybody else want to raise a hand or chime in? Okay, so yeah, I want to come back to that. I think the answer is yes, and I want to come back to that in a little bit as well. So we've got this issue, but now I want to continue. Take a look at this next component. I'm going to share the screen again. Hold on. Let me see if you can see it now. Here we go. Take a look at this chart. Can you guys see what? Let me see if I can get this a little bit bigger. Here we go. Okay, by a little raised hand here, can somebody tell me, what is this chart? Does anybody see what is the chart on the screen? Maya Gamil, could you tell me, what is the, do you see what that chart is on the screen there? Can you see it? Yes, you see that chart. Do you see, what does it say on the top? That's right. Thank you so much. What does that mean? Hang on one second. Let me screen back this way. Kapustin, Mayan Kapustin. Could you tell me, what does that mean, Mea Brachos B'chol Yom? Beautiful, 100 brachos that we should say every day. Thank you. Because the Gemara says in Menachos, Va'ato Yisrael, now the Jewish people, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of us every day? The word Ma, Tiferet Fishman, what does the word Ma mean? All right, moving along. I didn't hear you. Atera Tolinsky, what is the word ma, mem hey? What does that mean? Are you there, Ateret? All right, last try. Hannah Greenberg, are you there? Eliana Friedman, what is the word ma, mem hey? What does that mean? Exactly what? But the Gemara says that the word ma, if you put an aleph in the middle of it, Dahlia Schwartz, if you go mem aleph hey, what does that spell, mem aleph hey? It's a number. You just got to unmute yourself there. You cannot hear me. You can't hear me. Sorry. Okay. Shoshana Borgen, can you hear me? So what does the word Mem Aleph Hey spell? 100. Yes. So if you look there in Tosfos says, the Gemara says, Va'ata Yisrael, the Jewish people, what is Hashem looking for us? Al Tikre Ma, says the Gemara, Elamea. It's not Ma, what, rather it's Mea, it's 100 brachos. So this is quoted in the Tur and in the Shulchan Aruch. Somebody just raised a hand. Yes, who wants to jump in there? Someone had a hand raised? Sorry, I can't see who it is. If you have your hand raised, you want to jump in, please unmute yourself. What's that? Yes, I'm going to get back to the page. Al Tikre Ma Ela Mea. Mea means 100 brachos. We say 100 brachos a day. So here's what's fascinating. Many people are talking about this now, because the Gemara quotes this idea, but it's not really learned from that pasuk directly. That pasuk is a reference, it's a hint. Who established the formal requirement, although many Achronim point out that women may not be obligated in this 100 blessings a day? It could be that it's only for men, further discussion, not for right now. It's certainly something to aspire to if you're a woman. David HaMelech instituted Mea Brachos. The Tur points out in Orach Chaim, the Tur comments, Rav Yaakov ben Usher in the 14th century, he says based on a Medrash, David HaMelech was facing a plague, a pandemic, and people were dying every day. And so he made a takana, an established rule that people should recite 100 brachos a day, and through that takana, they saw a tremendous Yeshua, a salvation that people stopped dying. Amazing. So a lot of people now are talking about 100 brachos a day in this time of a pandemic. For those who don't recite 100 brachos a day, you see the chart in front of you on the screen. Great opportunity to start picking it up. You could say Bli Nader, or maybe only during the pandemic, you'll make 100 brachos a day. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of this idea or have the opportunity to make 100 brachos a day, but it's possible, especially if you daven Shacharis Mincha Maariv, you're more than halfway there. So you know, there's an incredible, unbelievable Ben Ish Chai. He says, you know why people stop dying? Why there's no pandemic? Why there's a Yeshua from a Magefa? Because the Pasuk says, Ma Tovu O'alecha Yaakov. And he says, Al Pidrush, O'alecha Yaakov is Tumas Oel, which is from a mace. But Ma, when you have the Mea, when you have the 100 brachos, then Tovu O'alecha, then the Oholim are good, then there's no Chevra Kadisha, there's no Malach HaModes, there's no Tumas Oel. Okay, beautiful. But why? Why is this such a koach to recite 100 brachos? Why is it so powerful? Why is it so significant? So I want to know why. Why are we accepting the Torah? Why is it that that was Moshe's response to the Malachim? And why is Mea Brachos so important? So to do that, I want to take you to a little bit of a strange place. I want to take you to Western Michigan University. Many years ago, and you see the newspaper screen on your screen here, the Western Herald from December 20th, 1963. Some of you have heard of this man. You recognize him on your screen? That's the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Not every day do we quote the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., but it's an important segue in thinking about why we should be inspired in our Yiddishkeit. And in a talk he gave at Western Michigan University, he introduces a term. And I want to share that with you. So I hope that this will work. I hope you could see it and hear it. Can you hear that audio? Can you hear the audio? Shoshana Borgen, can you give me a thumbs up if you can hear the audio? Great. Okay, Chaverim Yedidim. Why on earth would we play this clip from the Reverend Martin, Dr. Luther King? What does it have to do with anything? What does it mean to be maladjusted? Shalhevet Cohen, what does it mean to be... Oh, wait a second. One second. Ami Brand. My four-year-old son just walked in here with a tremendous crisis. Amr, I'm in the middle of giving a shiur to a group of amazing and fantastic high school students. If you could have a meltdown, please, somewhere else, not in my office. I need a call for backup here. What does it mean to be maladjusted? Could I see... who is there? Annabelle Katz, what does that mean, maladjusted? Okay, you're not 100% sure. Eliana Friedman, what does that mean? All right, we're going to keep going. Thank you for piping up here. Sarah Newmark, what does it mean to be maladjusted? Beautiful, thank you. It's in word. You've never heard anybody else use this word. It's a very word. I've never heard it anywhere else. I don't know if it's even a true word. But Martin Luther King says, we need to create an institution of being maladjusted. Not okay. Not in sync. And you know what I think is the secret? The secret is that Yiddishkeit, Judaism, is all about this. It's about being maladjusted. And what do I mean by that? Because as you see on your screen, the world that we live in is an olam. It is a world, but it's the same letters as he'elem, as hidden. Adira Schreiber, what is hidden in this world? Who is hidden? Who is not easily apparent? What's that? Yes! Thank you! The Ribbono Shel Olam is not hidden. When we walk outside, we don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's not apparent. He's hidden. And if you just go through life just that way, you won't see him. You won't find him. If we become adjusted to the natural world, to the everyday, to the olam that we live in, the Ribbono Shel Olam will be hidden. We won't see him. So we need to be maladjusted. We need to be just a little bit off. We need to be disrupted. That's why on the one hand we follow the lunar calendar, on the other hand we follow the solar calendar. We're always a little bit off. You know why we have so many mitzvos? We have so many mitzvos. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. Hashem wanted to give us mitzvos because he wanted to disrupt our life. Because the disruptions are a gift, not a punishment. How many of us have this challenge? I don't know how many of you guys, some of you I guess live in Bergen County, some of you live maybe in Passaic County, I don't know where else you guys live. How many of you have had this challenge where you take a drive? I don't know how many of you have driven on the Jersey Turnpike, but growing up, my parents live in Baltimore. I grew up in Baltimore. We used to drive to New York all the time, drive to Jersey. We would stop on the side of the road at a rest area. I don't know, Clara Barton or one of the rest areas on the Jersey Turnpike. You stop on the side of the road, and regular human beings who stop at the side of the road, what do they do when they pull into the rest area? They stand in line. They choose their food, they pay, and they eat. Es gesind. We pull over, and the first thing you're cheshving is, wait a second, am I fleishig or milchig? And you should just know, I don't know what it's like in Mayanot with a student body, but in Chicago, especially with many of us, we're always fleishig. We should, it's a big inyan in Chicago, meat, you should be fleishig. So first you have to cheshven, am I fleishig or milchig? Then I'm trying to figure out, is it kosher? What bracha is it? Do I have a problem of shinui makom? Can I eat it in the car? Is it hamotzi? Where am I going to wash? If I'm in Israel, do they take trumas and maisras and shemitah? By the time I'm finished all my halachic man calculations, you know what happens? I'm not even hungry anymore. I can't even eat a snack. But that's the purpose. The purpose of mitzvos is to interrupt our day, is to say, be maladjusted. Don't just go with the flow of life. The Meshech Chachma, the Heliger, Reb Meir Simcha Cohen of Dvinsk, he points out in a comment in Parshas Emor, he says that some mitzvos are go with the flow. So it doesn't stop your flow. You come at the end of the season, you picked up your harvest. You had an amazing, bountiful year. You go out to the field and you raise up your dalad minim. You say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there are mitzvos that say, stop, you got to change gears. You've been living since Shavuos. You've been living in the field. You've been sleeping in the barn. You come back in finally Sukkot's time. They say, stop, you got to go back to the barn. Live outside in a sukkah. But all the mitzvos, whether they're go with the flow or they're stop, they're meant to be disruptors. So many of us, especially in our generation in 2020, we know about disruptive industries, technology. So many things are disrupting the way things used to be. The point of mitzvos, why we do mitzvos, is to disrupt our life. To disrupt our life and to make us realize there is a God, there is a meaning. I have a purpose. There's something greater. Why is Mea Brachos so powerful? Why is 100 Brachos a day so powerful? Well, how often do you have to say Brachos to get 100 Brachos a day? Tzippi Mermelstein, are you there with us? Tzippi, can you? Is it possible to make 100 Brachos in 20 minutes halachically? Is that ideal? It's not right. It's not halachically recommended or possible to say 100 brachos in sequence. So if you're going to say 100 brachos a day, how often are you going to be, Shira Albert, how often are you going to be saying brachos? You're going to do it in one shot or are you going to be spreading it out over the course of your day? Spreading it out, yes. So what's going to happen is now you're going to be constantly interrupting your day. You're going to say a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the afternoon. If you say 100 brachos a day, you know what you've just done? You've put little reminders. There is a God. I have a God. The Ribono Shel Olam is part of my life. So why we do mitzvos is because mitzvos are our disruptors. They are a gift. Why making 100 brachos a day is so powerful is because it reminds us that the Ribono Shel Olam is the brecha. What does the word brecha mean? Chavi major. Any idea what the word brecha means? What's that? Yes, a pool. Bracha, we say, Baruch Ato Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the brecha. Bracha means you are the pool of sustenance, of energy, of life, of everything. And we're drinking from, we're draining from, we are receiving from that pool. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're everything. Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik said, you know what the most important thing in life is? And he learned this from his mother. He said, the most important thing in life is to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. The Rav said, the most important thing is to feel the awareness of Hashem. But because of the natural world, the way Hashem hid Himself in the world, He made us partners with Him to bring godliness in and to create that awareness, to build that awareness. The word mitzvah comes to the word savsa, a team. We are partners, we're Hashem's teammates in bringing light and goodness and HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. And we need those mitzvahs to be reminders. We need the 100 brachos a day to be reminders. But now we understand very well why it is, very, very well why it is, that Moshe Rabbeinu told the angels, you guys can't get the Torah. Because you don't need the Torah to interrupt your life. Malachim, angels, are purely spiritual beings. So what do you need disruption for? You're always with the awareness of Hashem. We need the disruption because our lives are physical. our lives are human. They are mundane. It's up to us to embrace Torah, to disrupt our lives. The way that we dress, the way that we eat, the way that we speak, it's constantly interrupted. It's such a nuisance. It's such a burden. That's exactly the point. It's not meant to be a burden as in, oh, it's so annoying. It's stop. It's meant to be a disruptor to say, challenge yourself. Think. Remind us to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives. The mitzvos, and with this we'll close, are empowering. They empower us. And it's dafka because we're human, because we're living in this world, that we have the challenge and the opportunity to embrace the mitzvos as disruptors to bring Hashem into the world. In the 1950s, there was a family. They lived in New York, and at that time you could just make an appointment and stop in to see the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Schneerson. They stopped in to see the Rebbe, and they had a boy just about to become bar mitzvah. And the boy meets the Rebbe. They brought him for a bracha. So the Rebbe says to the boy, he says, are you a sports fan? Do you like sports? The boy says, yeah, I like baseball. So the Rebbe says to him, who's your favorite team? So the boy says, my favorite team is the Brooklyn Dodgers. So the Rebbe says to the boy, he says, did you ever go to a baseball game? So he says, sure, I've gone to the baseball game. I've gone to Ebbets Field, where the Dodgers play. So the Rebbe said, yeah? How was it? He says, well, I just went a few weeks ago. We went to the game. My family went, but it was terrible. Shreklich, the Dodgers lost 7-1. So the Rebbe says to the boy, how do you know they lost? He said, Rebbe, everybody knows they lost. They lost 7-1. The Rebbe says, did you stay to the end? Did you see that they lost? So the kid says, the truth is, we left after the top of the eighth inning because it was a blowout. So the Rebbe says to the boy, he said, well, maybe the Dodgers also left after the eighth inning. So the boy thinks the Rebbe is so naive. He says, Rebbe, they can't leave at the bottom of the eighth inning. They're players. The Rebbe says, aha, I got it. He says, you are going to become a Jewish person, an adult, a Jewish leader. You have to remember there's a difference between spectators and players. Spectators, they can come and go as they please. But players, they're in it. They're part of the game. That's us. Guys, Chaverim Yedidim, this beloved Chevra, amazing students of Mayanot, we've been given mitzvahs, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael, because he wants us to be players, to interrupt the humdrum of the natural world in which Hashem is hidden, to do a mitzvah, and by doing that, become a player, become active, be a partner with Hashem, Betzavsa. Why do we have mitzvahs? Because we want to interrupt our lives to make the world full of spirituality. That takes us being players. And that's why we have the opportunity to do mitzvos. It's such a zchus to stand at Har Sinai and to get the mitzvos. And to get hundreds and hundreds, many more than 613. 613 is just the beginning. It's because we have the opportunity to be players, to interrupt the natural physical life, and to embrace a spiritual life. Halavai, hopefully, this Shavuos, you guys will take a few minutes to reflect on these ideas. Because you have a choice. We make choices all the time, especially adolescents. You're going to make choices in your life. How you want to act. How you want to speak. How you want to go about your business. And nobody's going to force you. You are the ultimate mechanich. But you also realize you're the one who's empowered. You are betzavza. You are the teammate kiviyachal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have mitzvos. And the reason you should do mitzvos, the reason you were given mitzvos, the reason we were all given mitzvos, is because they are reminders. They are little interrupters, disruptors, to encourage us to embrace our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have been given the gift of 100 brachos a day to stop our lives all the time and say, wow, God, you're with me. I'm with you. We're maladjusted to the physical world. We're maladjusted to the world around us because we are more adjusted to the spiritual underpinnings of life, to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hopefully all of us will recommit ourselves to the why of Yiddishkeit, to the why we do mitzvos, and shape our lives and take our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our tzavsa, to the next level. I bless all of us with a beautiful yontif. Chag kosher v'sameach. Stay healthy, stay well. I thank you for this opportunity.